supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
As the 50th anniversary of mankind landing on the moon fast approaches, efforts intensify to retell the story. Let's learn more on Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. And Derek, I understand at the Franklin Institute, it's not a mere retelling. New facts are coming to the fore.
Indeed, there are new facts. You know, if you have this perspective of 50 years on an event, it often allows you to tell a story that's a little bit more detailed than the story might have been told when it originated. And that certainly is the case for the Apollo missions to the moon. So much of that, as we experienced it, was about that exploration portion of the mission, of people going to the moon, making this dramatic experience of flying out to the others, to the another nearby celestial body. But at the same time, there's so much more involved in the story than just that. It's politics, and it's finances, and it's attitude, and it's, you know, bringing together so many people around the world. All of these parts and pieces make it a much more complex story. So Franklin Institute chooses to celebrate this 50th anniversary by bringing to our public a series of a documentary called The Apollo Chronicles. This is created by the local producer, Rotfeld Productions, and we'll have four episodes at the Franklin Institute beginning next Tuesday, June the 11th, as part of our Night Skies at the Observatory program. We'll show episode one, in which features yours truly, actually, and we'll also screen segment two next Thursday on the 13th. Both of these will be accompanied by people who were involved in the making of the Apollo Chronicles. We'll start first with Liz Relf and Steve Rotfeld themselves from Rotfeld Productions, and they'll help to tell the story of how they actually pulled this together, how they got the engineers, the flight controllers, people who were around at the time, family members, to contribute to help tell this much more complex story than what we were hearing some years ago.
And we didn't meet the golden anniversary, but there are plans to return to the moon in some 5 years, and it's not just NASA doing the work.
No, indeed, you're right. You know, it was announced earlier this spring, the intention for NASA to get us back to the moon by 2024, not very far away, only 5 years. And there's a lot of work to be done to actually make that happen. There are parts and pieces of a mission like that that haven't even been started yet. So there's still some question about whether or not this can happen. However, there are three commercial entities that are going to begin dropping payloads on the surface of the moon as early as next year, 2020, and 23 payloads will be dropped on the surface of the moon by the very next year, 2021.
So that implies that we know with some degree of precision where we want to visit next.
Well, in fact, there are three locations across the surface of the moon that will have these payloads dropped on them. And these payloads are going to do various kinds of testing and experimentation and measurement and mapping and all sorts of things like that, all leading up to providing the information necessary to get us back to the moon by 2024 and to help us further consider the establishment of actual colonies on the surface of the moon, research stations, I should say.
Derek, first quarter moon, great for viewing. How hard do you have to squint to catch sight of Pioneer 10?
Oh, even under the first quarter moon that we'll be able to view during our Night Skies at the Observatory program next Tuesday, there's no way we'll be able to see Pioneer 10. This is the 16th year since that spacecraft left the solar system. It was launched in 1972. It was not very heavy at all, about 800 pounds, and it wasn't very big, only 9 feet across. But this was the very first spacecraft to actually do a close approach of the planet Jupiter. Now imagine, this is back in 1973 that this is happening. We'd never done anything like this before, and its twin spacecraft, Pioneer 11, were actually two experimental spacecraft laying the groundwork for the much more ambitious Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 spacecraft. But we do have some idea of where Pioneer 10 is right now. Even though we can no longer communicate with it, it ran out of power some years ago. We had last communication with it in 2003. We now know that it's about 11 billion miles from Earth, which is really way, way, way out there. It's traveling in the direction of the constellation Taurus, the Bull, and it will pass a star in about 90,000 years, but it will only be a little under a light year away from that star. However, that's going to be the closest one of the five spacecraft that's exiting the solar system will pass to any other star over the next few million years.
From the vantage point of 11 billion miles out, does our sun look like any different star in the sky?
It's interesting. It'll be about 1/900th the intensity of our star as we see it from Earth, which actually makes it about 300 times brighter than the full moon as we see it from Earth. So it will look like a very bright star, but nothing like what we experience the sun looking like from Earth.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.